At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Look at this. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. For the first time in what? Over a year. Yeah. There's more than two of us here in the studio. Shaka Hislop, Craig Burling, we welcome as well. Alessandro Del Piero to the show. What a moment for us all. How are you doing with these seats?
Well, that's my first complaint. Over 12 months.
Already?
Over 12 months out of the studio as a group because of the pandemic, and somebody's gone and bought these. We don't know where to sit back.
I don't know what to do with it. Like,
sit cross legs.
Don't know what this. That.
They're a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. Professional show here, Ali. We also welcome, you can hear the laughter of Frank LaBeouf. Ian Dark is with us as well. A whole cast to bring us their predictions, of course, for the Euros that kick off in less than 24 hours. According to the bookies, it is France who are the favourites. England, then Belgium, Germany and Spain. And it is pretty much a recurring theme from our pundits when you've asked them who is going to win. They've gone for France. Craig, you are no different. You think France are going to win it?
Well, they're the strongest.
Yes.
I mean, bringing Benzema back in just adds another layer of natural goals for them. I mean, he's had another great season. So I've gone for France.
England is a flop. Why?
I say Italy is a dark horse. Italy's not a dark horse, but they didn't get to the World Cup in 2018. Yep. They've changed their playing squad, they've changed their manager. I tell you why I've gone for England, and I'm not gone for England because of the Scotland-England. I've gone for England because the goalkeeping positions are... Like, if England are going to be right in the mix in their second favourites, right? The goalkeeper in possession is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the key players for them over the last 5 years have injured, Maguire and Jordan Henderson. If you'd have said to me 12 months ago, Raheem Sterling would have been one of the first in the team sheet, Marcus Rashford would have been one of the first in the team sheet. They haven't been playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, Raheem Sterling played in the Champions League, final, and we're all going, how the hell did he get in the team? So, those guys are out of form. The goalkeeper's a problem, and Maguire and Henderson are injured currently, and that's why I think it could be a bigger problem for Gareth Southgate. They've still got good players, you know, Phil Foden and Harry Kane and all these guys, but the back line and the guys that I mentioned, I think, are a bit of a problem.
Right, Ali, you took a lot of time in your predictions. I asked you just before we started this show. And you're like, oh, do I have to give you... I was like, yeah, it's like having in.
Yeah.
But it's an Italian version of it all. What's this?
I feel a little bit disrespect. What's going on tonight? I mean, but what to do?
So, there were no mirrors?
I mean, that.
You got paid for that picture. Right?
Not enough. Well, because you got paid, it's not enough.
That time, I mean, that was the way to do things.
Right.
Was it?
What time was
that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Where?
For sure, it's a fake photos that brings, I don't know, the editing like some other stuff
that's magnificent.
But what to do? I mean,
That must have taken quite a lot of work.
That I took it, you know, for 10 years.
Wow. You persevered with it.
Wow. Yeah, nobody tell me nothing, even my mom.
I know.
After years, I say, Mom, you should say something to me.
No, that's it. And then you can't come here with us.
You're always beautiful, my love. Italian mom, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
She said, you always look lovely. So you've gone for France. Right.
I don't want to talk about France, I want to talk about Portugal. A lot of people think they're going to go well. You think they're going to have a horrible tournament.
No, I don't think it's going to have a horrible tournament, but they have the stronger, you know, the gold group stage, you know.
Yep.
And I believe in that group stage, you know, of course France go forward. I mean, it would be a very big surprise if France is going to happen something, mm-hmm. even though there's too much positivity
right.
on France, but they can miss that opportunity. And Germany is, at the end of the day, they are always strong, and they consistency, let's say like this. So Portugal can be struggling that time. Also, because even the third of the group stage can move forward, they can even lose two games
sure.
and only win one. So that's a very tricky moment for them. The season from Cristiano wasn't a great season like we always see. And even they have a strong team, to be honest. Let's see the chemistry. They won the last one. Mm-hmm. So let's see how they came up. It's a weird year for everybody, first of all, because, you know, some of the tournaments, you know, finish during the summer, they rest, some not. So we see a lot of injury in the last minute, including Italy. So that's why. And then you asked me a minute ago before put that photo. So take it or leave it, you know?
Your last show, is it going to be?
My first show at the ESPN headquarters and probably my last one.
That's it. We'll get you.
I'm gonna book the tickets for LA.
That's it. Shaka, I don't care about your predictions. I just care about your photo.
My photo. Oh, yeah. That was.
But you haven't aged that much. Who are you going for? You're going France.
France, like everybody else. Yep. I chose Denmark as my dark horse.
Ah, Shaka, you haven't aged at all. Where's your silly beard?
No, I didn't live in the 1780s like Alessandro when I was popular.
I mean, I don't know what's going on.
Griezmann, top scorer.
Yeah, I just feel between Benzema, Giroud and Mbappe around him, he gets his service. And I think this is a big summer for Griezmann, given his struggles at club level. I think he comes good in France blue. So I'm back in Griezmann to be on the receiving end of a lot of suits.
Okay, should we go to Frank? Frank's one's next. Frank's predictions, obviously.
What's his photo?
I don't know.
He's got a bald head, I know that. He's got one with hair.
Is that it?
So, Frank, you've gone for France. Let's take a look at the rest.
Oh, he's got hair! Oh, my God.
Who's that?
96. 96 when I signed for Chelsea, remember?
Wow. No, you never Reggie? Had. No, you never had that much hair when you came to Chelsea. No chance.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. No, that was 95, 96. But the picture is taken from below, so it's why you don't see the problem.
The picture's taken from below.
Okay. Yeah, I had hair from below.
Oh, yeah.
Go on, Frank.
Okay,
well,
Frank.
Don't
take me through them. Lukaku, your top scorer, Frank, I suppose, is what's striking there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's possible that Belgium can win also the tournament, and Lukaku is on fire, and it's a possibility. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with France. You know, I have to say that I had to put France as a favourite because I'm a Frenchman and I'm maybe the first fan of France. But, you know, knowing what's going on right now, we're going to talk about it, you know. You need a perfect atmosphere. You need also a little bit of question marks. If it's too sure that you're going to win, when France was always too sure to win something, they never did. So it's a real problem. It's a real concern for us. You know, everything seems to be perfect. We're going to start very soon the first game. The competition starts tomorrow. And yesterday, well, first problem, Giroud, Mbappe, you know. So we have to be cautious. Of course, they are the favorites because on paper, they have the best players. But we all know that the chemistry between the players will make the difference.
There you go.
Same. And it's why I put the England as a flop. Because like Craig, I think that 6 months ago, I would have put maybe England as a dark horse or maybe as a favorite. But I see many players injured. I'm not sure that the atmosphere is fantastic. I'm not sure the chemistry is there. So it's possible that we can be disappointed. Mostly, it's not a flop. We'll be disappointed because of the quality of the players and of the national team.
Frank is notoriously anti-English, just to give you anything English if he doesn't want success.
Of course.
Ian, finally...
And the Germans and the Italians and the Spanish.
Yeah, yes, and Neymar. finally, Neymar, Ian, let's take a look at your picks. Again, it's France. You take a look at what else you've done here. Italy, Belgium, Mbappe, Karim Benzema. Ian, that's a lovely look. So that's almost Anchorman look, isn't it?
Couldn't even have...
I didn't realise there was such a flat.
You couldn't even have got with an ESPN, mate.
It's not an original pick. I'm going for France, but you know, there have been a couple of tournaments where they've imploded. You think about 2010, when it all went wrong down in South Africa for them, and a lot of players came home in disgrace. 2002, there's these stories about a possible rift between Mbappe and Giroud. I think Didier Deschamps will pour a lot of soothing water on that. I think they're okay. They're full of quality. They should win it, really, if they perform like they did. They've got 9 of the starting 11 from the World Cup final. So Benzema makes it even stronger than that. He took a little knock the other night, but it looks like he's going to be okay. I think Portugal are dangerous. I hesitate to disagree with the great Alessandro Del Piero, but I think that's a quality squad that they've got. I'll tell you one thing about France, though. It's interesting. Their first game is away to Germany in Munich. That could set a bit of a mood straight away. And I just wonder about Germany. They're flying under the radar, aren't they, a little bit? Nobody's mentioning them because they lost 6-0 to Spain. They lost to North Macedonia. But you look at that team, it is pretty strong, and they've got something to prove now. That might make them dangerous.
Now, Frank mentioned, of course, this Giroud rift that has been exposed over the last 40 hours. And it all came from Giroud speaking to the press. This is what he had to say. I was a little quiet because sometimes I make runs and the balls aren't forthcoming. I'm not saying that I always make the best runs, but I'm seeking to offer solutions in the box. And then after that, we heard that Mbappe was upset, wanted to have a press conference. They hugged and made up, apparently, in training, Frank. What is being made of this in France?
Well, a big deal, of course. But Giroud explained, well, a little bit of... apologize, you know, to Mbappe. I don't know why Mbappe felt that he was responsible for Giroud's criticism, where Giroud explained that he was concerning almost everybody, especially Pavard in one action and N'Golo Kanté in another action that he didn't receive the ball from. But, well, everybody sees Mbappe and the way he plays, that most of the time he's looking for mostly an individual action where he's going to shoot. We all know his talent, so we all expect something. But I don't know. I don't know why he got the feeling that it was only for him. I think he's wrong. I think Giroud was wrong to make that comment. I think Mbappe is wrong to think that it was only for him. Hopefully, I know Didier Deschamps very well. I think he will make sure that everything goes right and Mbappe gets back to the best and his best humor. But really, it's for me a non-problem in a way that Giroud. I don't think Giroud's going to play. Therefore, you know, everybody is going to be happy and everything's going to go well.
Big deal?
I mean, well, listen, when you get a lot of guys together, it's not everybody gets on. But listen, at the end of the day, if Benzema stays fit and plays as we know he can, the only runs Giroud is going to have to worry about is up and down the touchline for the warm-up. He's not going to play, but what you can't do is lose him as a very good addition to the squad because he's not everybody's favourite player, but his record at international football, under Didier Deschamps in particular, is very, very good. Mm. And he's a different player. He's got added physicality. I mean, Benzema's he's a physical player, but there's an added ingredient with Giroud coming on. So, and look, as Frank said, what Deschamps is looking for is a little triangle between Benzema, Griezmann and Mbappe. I saw that in the game that I did against Wales, where they were linking up together. There wasn't a lot of balls getting thrown in the box. That's what he feeds on. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to play that much. But you don't want arguments before a tournament if you can help it.
And basically, these are the only problems that are facing France in this moment.
It's themselves.
No, somebody they talk about a little bit more or a little bit less. They don't have so many problems. That's why most of the people agree that they're a favorite, you know. And yeah, Giroud is another option, you know. It's a different kind of physicality. I completely agree. And that's another option for Deschamps. And I think Deschamps is enough experience to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in his mind he's also happy that something's going on, you know. As Frank said, you know, you need something that goes wrong at some point. Otherwise, everything is too flat. Everything is too easy at the end of the day. And that's, you know, the amount of talent that is in that team is insane now. So he's happy that something...
Really? Yeah. It keeps everyone on their toes?
Yeah, yeah. It's very... You know, Didier is very tactical and strategic guy.
Right.
So I think in his mind, you know, he's also happy that, you know, in front, they beat a little bit each other, so they need to show something more.
Right.
That's how it happened, you know?
I think it's good it's Giroud rather than Benzema.
Okay.
If there had been a... Because, obviously, Benzema's just come back in after a long layoff and there was problems. I won't go into it. There's problems between coach and player and federation.
Yeah.
And it's quite messy. So I don't think he wants any negative feedback from that scenario, because that will just blow up. Oh, should never have brought him back. He's going to upset the camp, even though he's a great player. So I think that's his main concern.
Yeah.
If Benzema, who we know is already got an issue with Giroud, if anything like that flares up, the French press media will jump on it.
Yeah.
So it's a little
morsel.
A little drama.
Yeah.
Not a big drama yet.
Hopefully, there'll be lots of drama.
Anyway, how come Alessandro never played in England, right? And yet your English is better than Frank's. Who did play in England?
Wow.
Frank.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
You know why? Because I was surrounded by people like Craig Burley, Dennis Wise, people who never been to school. So I was taught by you know, those kind of people.
We taught you nice words. You can't speak Scottish.
Sure.
I can only imagine it. This, of course, continues. We are with you every day throughout the tournament. Be sure to join us, bring you all the latest talking points. We'll be live at 5 on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
If you haven't done so, be sure to check out our journalists' favourite Euro memories. Of course, one of them, David Trezeguet's golden goal back in Euro 2000. And I tell you what, the perfect cast to talk about that.
I still don't understand what's going on here. I mean, for the first time you invite me in this beautiful headquarters, you know.
Yes.
I came all the way through to talk about Euro 2000. Really. And for that goal. That is amazing, by the way, okay? But not that much for me.
Well, we've got to talk about it.
Okay, a few minutes.
It's inevitable. A few minutes.
You've got to move, 1 minute.
Yeah, put the money in the meter and we're off.
Got it.
Okay. Who else is here? Frank LeBeuf, who's more than happy to talk about it, even though you didn't kick a ball in that game. Frank, more than happy to. Look at that French smile.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, smug French smile. Let's talk about...
Yes.
Go on, Frank.
Yeah. Hello, everyone, and I'm very pleased to talk about Euro 2000 with Alessandro Del Piero.
Yes, good. Right. Before we get to the final, let's talk about how you guys got there, in particular the semi-finals against the Dutch, because the Dutch were just hammering everyone. You know, you went into that game as underdogs. No one gave you too much of a chance. And then you're down to 10 men.
Yeah, that was a terrible moment, because the Dutch, especially at home, and that team was already amazing. And, you know, we were in the field to see what happened, the double yellow for Zambrotta, and then, oh my God, now what's going to happen? But it happened a lot in that game,
yes.
Including two missed penalties by the Dutch team.
Yeah.
And then we've been through the extra time till this moment that was, I mean, probably we give everything in that game because we lost the final later, but that game absolutely was outstanding for us, you know, the way that we... play that we saw, everything was tough, right? You know,
sure.
We play against them in their home.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy, you know, and that thing was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, you were like the bad guys, obviously, because it was in Holland and all the Dutch thought that they were going to win it, and then you go and ruin the party completely.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine.
And then, of course, France had to go to golden goal against Portugal in the semi-finals, Frank.
Yeah, that was a tricky game and a hard game, and that's that special occasion and chance for the penalty was with lots of discussion, because we can see that Javier hit the ball with his hands and always denied, and I think he will still deny that he touched it with his hands. And I don't know why. And the fantastic penalty from Zizou. But it was a hard game. It was a really tough game. But I have to say that in semi-final in the World Cup, Brazil beat the Netherlands. And in semi-final of the Euro, Italy beat the Netherlands. So we always thought that that in semi-final in the World Cup, it would have been harder to play against the Netherlands than Brazil.
Right.
But for that final, we didn't know, because the Dutch and the Italians were outstanding.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the final,
right,
where I really think we shouldn't have won that final.
Let's go then. Let's fast forward to the final. Obviously, you weren't starting in that game. When did you find out, and how did you react?
Well, we in that Euro, we all of us play a lot.
Yes.
You know? And especially Totti and I, we didn't play that much together. And
yeah,
we switch, you know, one time here, one time here. So I play full 90 minutes plus extra time, so 120 minutes in semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that I was happy to stay in the bench, because no, it's not.
Sure.
But I understand the fact that, you know, you want to have fresh legs, especially because we spent 90 more minutes in 10 men against the Dutch team. So that game, I came up at the end of the game, more or less, and I discovered, you know, the day before, like usually, Zoff was speaking to us, you know, and put down the team. But we had an incredible group of people and group of players, and that's why I think we won the semifinal in that way.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, if you don't have an incredible respect each other, and love for the game, love for winning, and love for the fact that you want to succeed together, you don't get over that semifinal. And in the final, you know, we shouldn't win. Yeah. Few minutes.
Yeah. Well, we'll go into some of those details. But you mentioned there, obviously, it was rare that you and Totti would line up again or with each other. And of course, that was a big talking point during the time. You got two of the greatest attacking players that Italy have ever produced, yet they can't be on this pitch at the same time.
Yeah, especially in the Euro or in the World Cup, happened many times that, you know, you pick one of the two. You know,
yeah.
Even in the World Cup in 2006, we did the same. But during the qualification, the group stage, we used to play together. And that was much fun.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Spending time with Francesco in that way. But I understand also the tactical point of view, the fact that, you know, you're facing a game that is in and out. And as a mentality, you know, we love, as Italian, you know, have a really great structure, defensive structure first. And then, because most of the time we're so talented in front, we find a way to find the goal, right?
Right.
So this is what happened many times. So that's the what I think all the coaches has in mind. You know, let's be strong. Let's be secure the fact that nobody can score against us. Let's say like
yes.
this.
Yeah.
And then in front we can do something. We have Totti. We have DP. We have Inzaghi, Vieri. Oh, many amazing player. Baggio before. You know,
sure.
You know, that's you find a way to score a goal.
Frank, meanwhile, you take a look at the French side. Of course, everybody knew you from 1998. But it really was the emergence of Thierry Henry, wasn't it? That was the big change over those last 2 years. Who, even watched his final back, was clearly one of the best players.
Yeah, which, in fact, and I'm sorry to say that, became a problem, because on top of him, you had Wiltord, you had Pires, and so all our offensive side were, I think, much mature and much stronger than in 98. In 98, we were more balanced because we're, as the Italy in 2000, stronger defensively. And the first aspect of our game was to be strong defensively. We're in Euro 2000, and I watched all the games lately with Vicente Lizarazu, and we both found that, in fact, we were completely unbalanced because we are more offensive than we used to be. So it worked, but it didn't work against Italy.
Mm.
We were tactically inferior to Italy. And all game long, we saw Italy better than us. Well, as I said, a final, you don't play a final, you win a final.
Sure.
And it's a big feat against Italy to win a game like that, because normally when Italy defends well, you know, you lose against Italy. And we all know that aspect of the game.
Just going back to Henri, obviously you had him at Juventus. Could you see what they were getting rid of, what they were giving away, his potential? Because when he moved to Arsenal and it wasn't under great fanfare, you know, he was making that move to London, but he never really made the impression, did he, in Italy that he did in, obviously, England.
What was a strange year for Juve? Let's talk about Thierry, yes, but it was a strange year for us, you know.
Right.
First of all, I was injured most of the time, so I didn't have time on the mind, on the training, to see a lot of what Thierry can do.
Mm.
It was young. It was potentially amazing because you can see physically it was devastating, you know, when you start running. But probably the advantage that he takes moving to London and to another kind of football that is more open, give him also more freedom to do what he wants to do.
Right.
In Italy, you know, when you, especially in that era, you play against tactically and defensively teams really, really strong. So you don't have so much space to move.
Mm.
You don't have the opportunity to dribble a guy, and then all of a sudden two more comes because we are so narrow each other. So that's why I don't think also Express totally himself with us. But yeah, it was a really good gift.
Yeah.
For Arsenal. I mean,
it certainly was there. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about the final then. It was tense, it was tight. But once Italy had taken the lead, at that stage you must have looked at the back line that you had and the way in which they played, obviously, throughout the tournament and thought, you know, this is ours to lose now almost.
Well, we found this great goal, you know. And talking about defence, you know, there were only Del Vecchio here between four French players. Was such a great moment for us because on that moment we see, well, we can really think to win this game, you know.
Sure.
On one side you prepare to win,
yeah.
Then you start playing the game, you know. And then when you go 1-0 and say, well, this is our moment.
Yeah.
And we kept going till the last minute of the game.
An incredible ending.
And we missed a couple of opportunities, me included.
Right.
And to score the 2-0. And then the last minute, you know, we concede this stupid fall.
Yeah.
And close to the French goal area, you know, penalty area, and then that long ball and blah 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 blah.
Okay, that's, well, before we get to
we
the
can move on to the 2004 definitely, you know.
Before we get to the drama at the end, you obviously came on as a substitute.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of chances you had to then put it at 2-0 at that stage.
Yeah.
So let's just rub the salt into the wounds even more, shall
we? You have also the images. I mean, that's amazing. I mean,
just take us through these. Obviously, that one.
That one was, you know, we are talking a lot about the control. That was my first mistake because I control the ball too close to my feet.
Right.
So I need to take an extra step, an extra touch with the right one. And this one, you know, you only want to find the goalie, and most of the time you score.
Right.
Not this time, unfortunately for me. But the first one was the one that I regret most, honestly.
Right.
Because with a good control, I can put the ball already on my left foot, and I have more time instead of rushing up because Thuram was coming and closed the gap.
Yeah.
So and can also anticipate the shot to see where was the goalkeeper. And that time, the ball stayed on my feet. I didn't have time to look around. I felt where was the goalie and where was the goal, but I felt it wrong because I closed too much.
Like, Frank, you saw those opportunities missed, but even with those, it was still difficult, wasn't it, to see as this game was going on how France were going to make that all-important breakthrough?
Well, yes, because you always have the hope that something will go right for you.
Yeah.
But it's true that, and it's funny because I remember the second chance that Alessandro had, and I followed Alessandro's career because he played with Zizou, with Didier Deschamps, with Thierry Henry, maybe David Trezeguet as well. So, you know, we followed Juventus, and I know that Alessandro would have that chance, you know, 10 times. He would have scored 9 times. I'm talking about the second chance. And I remember very clearly, you know, that chance where just before he kicked, and I say, well, we're dead. For us, we're dead. But it's true that after that, you say, well, it's not a good day for us, but they don't want to finish us. Mm. And it's always that thing in football. If you don't finish the opponent,
yeah.
you always give the opponent the chance to survive. And it's what happened at the last minute of the game.
Yeah, and it's Wiltord, of course, that scores that goal that would force extra time. What was your reaction, Frank, when this goes in?
Well, just like 30 seconds before, I say to Emmanuel Petit and Lisa Arzu, I say, oh, we're going to have a nightmare tonight. And right. I saw Wiltord kicking. Well, from where we were, we didn't see where the ball went through. But that's incredible because when you see between the legs of Nesta, Toldo very close to get it. It's like, you know what? I think God had chose the one side, you know, because it's almost impossible to score that kind of goal. Crazy. Impossible again. And I can understand the frustration of the Italian because it was like a minute before the end. And I tell you, I was ready to have a very awful evening with my friend because off top of it, I didn't play.
Yeah.
But we would have been runner-up and deserve to be runner-up because, again, the Italian were better.
That must have been such a sucker punch. Like you've almost got both hands on the trophy.
Let me tell you, almost a knockout for us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 1 minute until the end. In that way, as Frank said, you know, between the legs of Nesta, with the foot of Toldo, then decided to put the hand. But, I mean, Toldo made incredible Euro, especially against Dutch. So nothing to say against him or against, you know, Nesta. Or it's something that unfortunately happened. You need to take it that way and try to make a reason for what. And that, like a knockout, because when extra time started, we were dead.
Yeah.
We were inside, we were dead. That was a really big hit. So I think it was a question of time when they're going to score the second one.
Yeah.
If we get lucky, we go to the penalties. Mm. That was the feeling inside the field, right? And they bring up so much energy with that goal. So they came and they kind of destroy us in that last 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course, they had the momentum then going into extra time. And it's an incredible finish considering the scenario from Trezeguet, Frank.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. But remember that, again, Lizarazu go out. And so the left back goes out and he puts Pires on. And Piros brought something fantastic. But it's not a perfect cross. There is a little bump just before. And you can throw the ball in the stands, you know, if it's not your day. But clearly, it was the day of France, our day. And it went in a top corner. Perfect. Remember that guy was about to sign to Juventus. Oh, already signed for Juventus. That's completely crazy. But I have to say that when Robert Pires came on, and substituted Lizarazu. Marcel Desailly came to him and said, you know what, Robert? We're going to see if you deserve to be with us.
Wow.
Now, I talked to Robert after that, 20 years after, like 2 months ago, and he said, I wanted to slap Marcel. Yes, it was so disrespectful. But 20 years after, I have to say that he annoyed me so much that I wanted to prove him that I was right.
Yeah.
Well, he proved. Because what he did, the action, and then the cross... Perfect, well, almost perfect for Trezeguet. But as Alessandro said, we knew that something would happen good for us when we scored the first goal with Wiltord. Because as he said, it was a knockout. And you have the momentum, you have the power, you have the spirit, everything for you at that time. And you know that it's going to turn the right way.
And of course, golden goal, that was it. That was the last kick of the whole tournament.
First of all, it was only 2 minutes to talk about Euro 2000. Now we'll keep going for 15, 20 minutes. But okay, besides of that. Yeah, you can clearly see, you know, Pires great did an amazing action, you know.
Yeah.
The way that we lost the ball, the way that we were facing him, you can see that we were out already.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you consider that kind of ball to Trezeguet that I played within 10 years, I mean, he never missed one of that, you know.
Sure.
It's incredible balance, incredible way to find the goal. It was one of his most precious things, you know. Definitely, Juventus should sign him before the Euro, not after.
Right.
That maybe he had some mercy with us, but it didn't happen. So,
like you mentioned before, obviously, this very much a low in your career, and then you go on World Cup and everything. Like, how much does that build your character, these sort of matches? Like, to feel that, how much does it then drive you for success in the future?
It takes a lot for me to digest that game, honestly, yeah, that loss, because, you know, I want, at that time, I won everything with Juve. We were on top of the world and winning the Intercontinental Cup. But we were missing. I was missing that part with the national team, you know. And against France, it's always incredible. You know, we are cousins, but, you know, we kind of hate each other sometimes. Yeah. We love each other sometimes. So it depends on the situation. And most of the players that was in that team, they were in that team, was play either with us, like Zidane, mm-hmm, Deschamps, or with Milan, like, you know, the Zaire, like you mentioned. And so that's Dugarry, I think. Most of them, they were kind of Italian guys,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So it was a really a big hit for us. But you have to recover in some way.
Yeah.
And you need to put down something more. I mean, if you miss that chance for a minute, it means that you did a lot. Almost everything, but right, not everything.
Yeah.
So you need to find a way to cover that minute that we consider a minute, but it's a lot. It's like the last step, you know. The last step is always the most difficult, you know, especially winning a competition with the national team.
That's it. We'll never talk about it again. Man, I promise.
I hope somebody editing, you know, the show, I don't know.
Just a reminder, of course, the Euros start tomorrow. What a month of action we have for you across ABC and ESPN.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We feel like we've been previewing this tournament forever, but it all starts, of course, now within 24 hours. It starts off with Italy taking on Turkey. Italy, of course, good qualifying, looking good under Roberto Mancini. Gab with us. Gab gave us this starting 11. Before we go to Gab, Ali, you take a look at the 11 that you feel that Mancini is going to put out, and you feel that this is a team that can do well. Do you like this side?
I mean, yeah, we are talking about great players that they know each other a lot. Mancini doesn't have Verratti, doesn't have probably the second game, maybe the third, and doesn't have Sensi and Pellegrini. That has two great options for the midfielders, for the midfield. But, you know, they play at Rome. Italy and Rome never lost. Six mm-hmm. win and two win. They won all the 10 games in the group stage. So they're really confident. And when Italy play home, they're really, let's say, good. I don't want to talk too much high about that. I don't want to bring the expectation too high because still a young team that didn't face... group stage is not the Euro Cup.
Right.
So that's the only thing that concerns me at the moment. But how Mancini built that chemistry together, that is the most important thing from my point of view when you're facing this big tournament. You know, how the players communicate each other, play each other, help each other. That's priceless from my point of view. So that's why Italy has a big chance. So they play against Turkey that, you know, that they have amazing defense. Mm-hmm. I predict in the game that, you know, Italy gonna dominate the game in possession of the ball and see what's gonna happen. But cross finger.
A couple of old guys at the back.
Yeah.
Chiellini and Bonucci.
Yeah, that's...
But shouldn't be too much of a problem in the group stages. But no. Is that more problematic if they face a side with pace, like a Lukaku or a Benzema?
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about guys that they're going to be fit 100% for that moment. They're going to play like the last game of their career.
Yeah.
So they have to be. They have experience. They have physicality. Not that much, but they have physicality. And the team has the way that they play, don't let them alone.
Don't let them exposed.
Yeah, that much, exactly. This is the key when they were going to go forward, for sure.
As promised, Gab Marcotti is here. Gab, let's talk about Turkey a little bit, shall we? A lot of people have got a feeling that maybe they can go far in this tournament.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I mean, Ali mentioned there defensively, Demiral and Soyuncu. Obviously, that's a real top-notch centre-back partnership. And I say this with all due respect to Bonucci and Chiellini as an Italy fan. I would happily swap those two for Turkey's two central defenders. I don't know the last time anybody said that. But there's quality elsewhere. Tufan, obviously Zeki Celik, Çalhanoğlu as well. I think they're going to set up essentially with a bunch of attacking midfielders. And, you know, Burak Yılmaz just had a tremendous season at Lille. And a lot of people had written him off. I think he's actually older than Bonucci. So I think in this game, Italy's defense should be able to handle them, you know, age-wise it is like for like there. But no question, I think you underestimate Turkey at your peril.
Shagun, looking at this and looking at this match, it's going to be tight, isn't it? I don't want to undersell it.
No, it will be. And you see that in the way Italy have played and continue to play their games. As Alessandro mentioned previously, very resolute defensively under Mancini, which you saw, which you've seen. Mm. But they're a team that have put together a really good run, albeit against opposition that you'd expect Italy to beat, best in any ordinary circumstance. But now you have to deliver on that. You have to deliver on what has happened over the last 2 years. Against Turkey is a firm test. On home soil, you expect... I fully expect Italy to cruise the group stages.
Right.
And then later on in the competition, it gets a little bit more difficult. As Craig was alluding to, I think if both Italy and Belgium win out in their groups and the next game, they meet each other in the quarterfinals. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you do have Lukaku coming up against Bonucci and Chiellini, two defenders who he would know well from his time in Serie A. And that's when you really see the Italian team tested in a way that I don't think they've been for the last couple of years.
The more you think about it, this is actually quite a tough start for Italy.
Sure.
This is the best Turkey have looked for quite a few years. They had a poor period, but they've got themselves sorted. And as the guys have said, defensively in qualifying, they were excellent. They don't score a bunch of goals, but defensively, they're excellent. And so this actually, I think, could be a real test of an Italy side that a lot of people have been excited about under Mancini.
Yeah.
They had a real bit of momentum around them. And yeah, I mean, they're the favourites to win this, particularly at home. But trust me, this Turkey side, they are a tough nut to crack.
We mentioned this young Italians. Like, how much is tomorrow's match about going out there and making a statement? And how much is it about not losing the game?
I don't think they're going to go into the pitch with the mindset of let's do not lose the game.
Right.
What Mancini was building from day one was a really consistent team in order to dominate the game, if it's possible, with the quality of the midfielders that we have, with the good striker that we have, and strong defense that honestly Italy has. Yeah, probably when you go forward, when we're going to face a stronger team, you know, but that's not my doubt now. My doubt is if something go wrong, how Italy can repair.
Right.
Because till now, nothing went wrong. Not down in a game, not a draw or a loss in a group stage, you know. Everybody happy, everybody friendly, you know. Love around this national team, hope again with this national team. So if something go wrong, if you go down, for example, 1-0 after 5 minutes, how are you going to react? Or if you don't score a goal in the first half, like probably everybody think about that, right? We play home, we start strong, we are coming from 10 wins, we need to score a goal in the first half. And if it's not happening, what's going to happen later? That is a big challenge for Italy now, in order to move forward on the next step. And then probably, you know, facing Lukaku or other, or Keane or whatever, you know, big guys, and see how you react. But that's the my really concern in that, in this moment, and I hope we're not gonna go through that, you know.
Sure.
But if it's happened, I would love to see the reaction of the guys, you know, how they prepare, because Mancini built a strong chemistry, a team around. Not only the result, about the help to each other. And that's, you know, when you're losing, when the moment is very nervous or there's tension around, that is the moment where the man has to step up. And the balance between, let's say, old guys, right, and young guys is important as well. But now the young guys has quite a lot of experience, because we can consider Donnarumma young guys, or is he play a lot of games, and Jorginho just won the Champions League, you know, he came from an incredible journey of his career, you know, is a great example to show what's going to happen. Verratti is not playing this game, but he's in the team for a while. He played in Paris Saint-Germain for many, many years. So that kind of things that you are confident.
Sure.
And we really hope that in Italy, you know, in order to make in front of our fans and a new step forward for the national team.
Gab, let's get some predictions, shall we? How do you see this one going?
I don't know. I'm extremely concerned about that defense. As you know, I don't share the excitement over the guys who are out there. I don't think this is resolute defending. These are attacking wingbacks. They have to go for it. But I like the team's courage. But I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Oh. Shaka?
I'm going to go Italy 2-0.
Yeah? Take that, Gab.
I feel almost I'm embarrassed to be more positive about Italy than Gab.
Yeah.
I think that's a first. But Italy 2-0 for me.
Italy very narrowly 1-0, tight game.
Yeah.
Well, let me say Italy 2-1.
Right.
Because there's only one time that Italy and Turkey facing each other between World Cup and the Euro Cup.
Okay.
And it was the June 11th. Which year?
Oh, not 2000.
Yes.
2000. Why do you keep bringing up the
2000? I mean, you want to keep going with this 2000. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with it today, but that's,
you
know,
brought it up.
That's how the stars combine in this point.
Oh, wow.
So that was a good win for us.
Yep.
And I hope the history can repeat.
Okay. So. How'd you get on in 2000? No. Right.
Thank you very much. Guys.
Here's Gab's predictions for the tournament. He's going to Sweden as the dark horse. Tielemans to be the player of the tournament. Just a reminder, if you want more from Gab, you can download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Of course, a full preview of the Euros. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Look who's here. Casey Keller joins us to reflect on what happened last night between the US and Costa Rica. It could have been a bit of an anticlimax, couldn't it, after that victory against Mexico. But blooming it, US men put in a great shift once again. And it would start early, wouldn't it? Like, this goal from Aronson pretty much would set the standard.
Yeah, Robinson just plays a really good ball into DK. DK just does what he does. He just kind of bowls in the middle. And then Aronson does a great job of following up, like every midfielder should do. And he's in the right spot, finishes it well, and that just got the ball rolling.
And then just before the break, DK gets on the score sheet.
Yeah, it was great for DK to be able to do that as well, you know, after really being instrumental on the first goal, but then getting his reward with the second.
7 minutes into the second half, Cannon gets in on the action.
Yeah, I like Cannon with the high press, particularly they had Costa Rica in that. You know, don't let him get back in the match in that early in the second half. And then Gio Reyna comes on, and he's so elusive, Dan. And,
yeah.
You know, in the box, Costa Rica has no answer. They clearly foul him. And then we're going to show that confident 18-year-old composure from the penalty spot.
I don't know. He looked like he's panicking.
He was very panicking here. He just kind of strolls up and goes, yeah, I'm just going to send you the wrong way.
Yeah. So it finishes then the U.S. 4, Costa Rica 0. They played with a swagger throughout this game, Casey, that we haven't really seen that much under Berhalter at all.
Well, I mean, you got to give some credit, obviously, and the difficulties that Berhalter had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take the job, you have a game or two, COVID locks everything down. You're then playing weird friendlies in Switzerland in front of nobody with a group of players that you're kind of trying to have a look at.
Yep.
You didn't really have the opportunity until this group of games to have the group of players together. And then even in the warm-up game against Switzerland, you have two of your key players who were in the Champions League final and couldn't play. So it has. It's been a learning curve for everybody. And I think this is massive for Greg to be able to, you know, have that game. But then after you said that the huge match that it was against Mexico,
mm-hmm.
then to, you know, 3 days later, to try to replicate this World Cup qualifying cycle that we're going to have.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Greg about it, and he said, you know, yeah, that was the idea. But then you go 120 minutes, you then win a trophy, you got guys who want to celebrate, you know,
yes.
and what do? Hold them back and not let them enjoy that moment? So they get on a plane, they go to Salt Lake, and they put together a very comprehensive performance, which you have to give the coaching staff and the players a ton of credit.
The Nations League, of course, something that you never achieved in your career.
That's one of the few things with U.S. soccer since it didn't exist.
When you think back to your group, you think about the character that you guys showed. Obviously, when it looked like you were down and out, you know, over time and time again, you kind of defy the odds. And these sort of matches, you feel, could hopefully set a precedent for this group.
Well, we knew that this was a young group. Obviously, one of the youngest groups they've ever had out on the pitch, and particularly in a major game against Mexico. And so you don't know. I mean, what's the old saying? You don't know until you know, right?
Yeah.
And until you throw that group out there, put them in an adverse situation, you know, like playing in Colorado.
Yeah.
but obviously, you know, I wouldn't say it was a pro-Mexico crowd, but it definitely leaned in that direction.
Sure.
You saw the response from the U.S. fans when the U.S. continued to get back into the match. But it was one of those situations where a coach can always look back and look at these players. You look at Weston McKennie's performance.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, let's look at McKenzie, you know, giving up the difficult first goal. But then that first 20 minutes, erase it.
Sure.
And then find a way to win the match. You talked about the resilience of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're starting to see a new resilience. And because of that, you then move into this friendly against Costa Rica. You've built all this great feeling about the win.
Yeah.
And then the last thing you want to do is go into that match, fall flat, lose a game. No, you follow it up with a 4-0 comprehensive victory. But what is really important is Greg Berhalter has a good squad.
Sure.
And there's a lot of competition in that squad.
Yeah.
And there were some disappointed guys last night that didn't play against Mexico that wanted to prove to the coach, say, look, maybe next time I'll be in that match. But they knew if they fell flat last night.
Yeah.
That chance might not come again for a while.
Case, you're going to be with us for the month, of course, with the Euros kicking off tomorrow. So we
nice photo,
look
guys.
At that
Thank
picture,
you. Yes.
man. That is gorgeous. Casey, what's going on?
That was, you know, pre-stress. There's a lot of bald goalkeepers, Dan, for a reason.
That is a magnet. That's a mullet. We can call that a mullet, can't we?
That's a sweet mullet.
Oh, well, let's not go too far. like the rest of the world, you're going France
Shocker.
As the winner.
Yeah.
I don't even think Italy, you can count as a dark horse, can you?
Well, I mean, they are 9-1, but I mean, obviously.
Yeah, that's not a dark horse.
I mean, what are you going to pick, Finland?
Well, yeah, Scotland, Finland,
I mean, come on. But I think about Italy, I really like, you know, kind of the new direction they're going under Mancini. And, you know, for me, you know, Barella is going to have to be the man.
Right.
If Italy is going to really surprise.
Yeah. And then obviously Spain with a flop. I imagine
that's not a player-wise. That's solely because of the COVID and the premise and everything that's going on. They might have to really count on a lot of young players.
Sure.
Yes.
And, you know, those young players are unproven. And yeah. you're always waiting to see. Don't get me wrong. I know those young players are more than capable
yeah.
to completely do well in this tournament. But there's a lot of question marks with Luis Garcia's side right now because of all the
COVID. And Harry Kane is top scorer, obviously. So yes. why aren't England winning it?
Well, because they're going to lose to Germany in penalties in the semifinal.
Shut up, Casey. So. Let me know. Of course, a lot more Euro coverage of Casey throughout the month. Meanwhile, on Football America's, they react to the latest additions to the US Soccer Hall of Fame, which, of course, was announced yesterday. Be sure to check that out here on Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Newcastle then with the win. Of course, the playoffs start this weekend. Central Coast Mariners taking on MacArthur FC. That's on Saturday at 5 a.m, followed by Brisbane Roar against Adelaide United on Sunday. How was your time in Australia, Ali? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, really much.
Yeah? Really. Sydney's a nice city.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, not as nice as here, obviously.
Yeah, definitely not. seriously.
Nice beaches here.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show.
A nice carpet, that.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. We'll stay late to answer the questions. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali's just hiding his phone as he was texting somebody, anybody, to get him out of here very quickly.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I imagine the first day at ESPN, you know, they got our sports are completely different.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to find, you know,
friends,
a very relaxing situation.
You come here, the first thing we do is talk about Euro 2000 final, and then we show an old picture of you and laugh.
Yeah, that's, you know, worse than that, I don't think it's gonna go.
Well, let's see. Let's see how low we can take this. is Mancini's semi-final target at the Euros realistic? Are the Italians the most underrated side in the tournament?
Yes, the semi-final is a reasonable target. I mean, considering the competition that the stronger team that this Euro present.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't think we can talk about Italy like an underdog because Italy is still Italy. Besides the fact that, you know, we didn't participate on the last World Cup. But the journey till the Euro is an amazing journey.
Sure.
Too much amazing, you know, but amazing journey. We don't concede a goal for 8 games. We won most of the games. We have a really, really good chemistry inside the team. There's no a big star, but there's a great effort between everybody. Mancini created an incredible chemistry inside the team, and everybody trusts each other.
Right.
Till now. That's why till now, because now the game is on. Tomorrow the game will be on for real.
Mm-hmm.
We usually don't miss the first game, but there's a question mark if for some reason Turkey is gonna score the first goal, because we are not used to go down.
Yeah.
So that's that kind of reaction to be very interesting for our side. But again, he have a chance, you know, to put down his 4-3-3 like he wants. So I believe Italy, I hope we're gonna do an incredible Euro.
Can I ask about your socks, or you shout at me?
No, you can't.
It's enough. Did they give those, were they free on the plane?
Yeah, you know, I just came back from, you know, from JFK, so, and they drove all the way here.
Yeah,
know?
They want to see them though. They want to see them. Put them on the table.
Who?
Of course, they want to see it.
No, he doesn't want to see it. No. So.
We can see it from here.
No, more professionality I need in this room.
Craig, is it the hyperbole to suggest that the intensity and passion that Scotland will bring against their fiercest rivals, as opposed to facing one of the other so-called favourites, will help them get out of the group stages, even despite the chasm or chasm in quality between the two teams?
He's obviously referring to Scotland v England, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, England are not as strong as I think Xhaka was talking about earlier. A year ago, they looked a stronger side. Had a few injuries. They still have better players than Scotland. But actually, Scotland have closed the gap a little bit. You know, players like Tierney and Robertson at Liverpool, good players. McTominay at Man United, not bad. McGinn at Aston Villa. So they've got a nucleus of a half-decent side. It's how the other players...
Right.
You know, there's some guys going to be playing for Scotland that play in the Championship in England, and there's some guys that are playing for some of the smaller clubs in Scotland, like Motherwell and teams like that. So that it's how they're going to cope with the pressure. But the only thing Scotland can be against England is organised.
Okay.
They're unlikely to outplay them. That's what Stevie Clarke will be doing. Organise, defend, then try and hit on the counter-attack. But the answer to your question, was it any more likely against England?
Yeah, to that more motivation to beat us.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think so, but it's just another big game.
Euros are upon us, Shaq. Mm. Which national team anthem really gets your adrenaline pumping?
Not the English one.
From
how
a view... I'm asking Shaq a question.
Oh, okay.
From point of view. The Italians really seem to enjoy theirs passionately.
Another country's anthem doesn't get my, you know, blood pumping to that question. But the Italian players' reaction to their anthem is always good to see.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people read so much into that, probably more than they should. But it's always a spectacle when you see the Italian lineup and how they react.
Yeah, Gigi Buffon, of course, iconic in that lineup, belting the anthem away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we breathe. In Italy, you breathe soccer and then air. And that's the main fact. So it's a big moment for us, you know, especially coming from the World Cup that we didn't participate at all, about the fact that we are not doing that much well in the Champions League lately. That's the Italy till 2006 was the place to be. And then after that, not anymore. There's England, there is Spain, there is other, Germany, France, there's more competition now. So this struggling to coming back is also, I don't know, say in English, but we tie with the national team in order to make it something more. And that's the national anthem is represent also that moment, you know, the last moment before the game start, in order to, you know, to cheer each other and to say, right, okay, let's go. It's beautiful. I mean, the words are beautiful, and also the lyrics are the same things as words, okay. But, you know, the sounds.
Sure.
And it's going up at the end, so that's give you that energy, that plus.
Yeah, it's better than England, you're right, Craig.
I don't like, the English national anthem is pretty boring.
Yes,
it?
Yeah. Scottish anthem?
Flower of Scotland.
Yeah, did you sing it?
Or Scotland the Brave.
Could you sing it without your teeth?
I didn't sing it.
Right.
Our manager used to get upset with, after an international game, the next international game,
right,
when we had the team meetings, he used to speak about players not singing the national anthem. He got upset.
Right. Why would you not, why did you make the choice not to sing it?
Because one of the reasons when the camera was going along here,
yes,
no teeth.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, my message. Not pretty.
No, it's really not pretty. No. You don't want to see it.
So
it's a good reason.
No. Shaq?
What?
You sing the national anthem?
Softly.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't a belter.
Why not?
Save my voice for more meaningful weather, you know.
Yeah, for
performing.
For shouting at defenders. Yeah. Ali, how much money should I bet on Italy? This person asks.
Oh.
It depends how much money you have in your pocket.
Yeah, all
first of all. And
yeah.
Then, definitely, you know, it's...
It's good. It's Craig, what are you doing? Did you see how much money you got? What are you doing?
Who made that question?
Listen.
You made that question.
He was talking. He was on a single camera. You said my name. I was trying to sneak a little look at my email.
What emails you get?
I don't know. I've not been able to look at it. God's sake,
I'm going to respond to him because you made the question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it depends how much money you have in your pocket.
Since when do you read your emails?
Well,
do you have emails as well?
Hold on, what do you mean, when do I read emails?
Shaka, how do you think Keylor Navas will feel about the likely arrival of Donnarumma?
Disappointed again. Yeah. But I think, again, he'll find another very good club to go to and will again prove exactly how good a goalkeeper he is.
Final question. Can Craig shave his head if Scotland win the Euros?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's
not much hair left there really to shave, is there?
What's that?
Because it's kind of...
If Scotland win the Euros, he's going to be broke after he bet all his money on Italy.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Scotland win the Euros.
Yep.
Scotland win the Euros.
Do you want them to win the Euros?
You don't want them to win the Euros. I don't care.
No?
No.
There's not even a little bit of you that wants them to do
there
well.
There is.
Yeah? You think so? Yeah. You think he's getting softer in his old age?
Documentary in Scotland.
Oh, it's BBC Scotland.
Yeah, has got them all going again.
Yeah, Mr. Brown's boys.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm interested in is checking my emails. Right. And getting my golf tea times from next week.
Right, that is it. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We will be back tomorrow for more, of course, to discuss the opening game in the Euros. Be sure to join us then.